Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Ezekiel chapter number 16. I'll read the text in just a minute. When you come to the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that one of the main themes running through this book is showing reverence to the name and to the glory of God. Matter of fact, you'll find one of the key verses is chapter number 6 and verse number 7, where the Bible says, "And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Ye shall know that I am the Lord. Matter of fact, it's very interesting when you study the book of Ezekiel, you'll find out that that statement that I am the Lord is mentioned no later than 25 times throughout the book of Ezekiel. You'll find the first three chapters is dealing with the prophet's call. Chapter 4 through chapter 24 deals with the fall of Jerusalem. Chapter 25 through 32 deals with the nation being judged. But then in chapter 38 through or chapter 33 through chapter 48, there's the glorious future of the nation of Israel. When you come to chapter 16, this chapter traces the spiritual history of the Jews from their birth and God's call of Abraham through the marriage or God's covenant with the people up to what some consider a spiritual prostitution as they was with idolatry and the sad consequences that followed, which was a ruin and exile. When you come to chapter 16, the parable, one has considered this to be a parable of the Old Testament and a parable of an adulterous woman. You'll find in the first 14 verses is her youth. Verse 15 through 34 is her sins. In verse 35 through 52 is her condemnation. But in verse 53 through verse 63 is her restoration. Thank God, even though we may sin, and even though judgment may come because of sin, there is still, hallelujah, restoration that can be administered to us today. As you read this chapter, you must see not only the dark background of Israel's wickedness, but you must also see the bright light of God's love and God's grace towards the nation of Israel. It reminds me of what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 5 in verse number 20, where the Bible said this, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound." Each and every one of us are sinners today, but aren't you thankful that where sin abound, grace did much more, not just a little bit more, but did much more abound. Whenever you study the Word of God, you'll find that every verse of the Bible and every passage of the Bible has what is considered a primary interpretation. It also has a prophetical implication, but then there can also be a practical application that is made out of it. When we come to the first 14 verses of chapter 16 today, I want to bring a practical application from the Word of God. The primary interpretation is the nation of Israel in trouble. The prophetical implication is that God will raise the nation of Israel back up again one day. But the practical application is this. You and I can be seen, and the grace of God can be seen in the first 14 verses. If you found your place, let's stand in honor in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse number 1 of chapter 16 says this, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, calls Jerusalem to know her abomination, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Boy, I like that statement right there. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thine hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was as fine linen and silk and bordered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord. Now, God, I love you this morning. God, I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us today. I pray, God, that you give us liberty to preach thy word. God, I pray that that's what I would preach today, is a divine, thus saith the Lord. God, I'm not interested in my opinion of the scriptures this morning, but I am interested in what you have to say about it. So preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. If there's any here lost, I pray, God, that you would save them today, God. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into this passage and talk to you a little while today about this picture of a baby that is left out in the field, in a place where it's simply going to die if nobody comes along and helps it. And I want to preach to you on this thought: rescued from ruin. Rescued from ruin. Again, there is a practical application that can be made of a sinner that is lost today, and God coming to where that sinner's at and loving that sinner and saving that sinner. Three quick things and we'll go home today. Number one, I want you to note the ruin of this baby. I want you to note the ruin of this baby. Note what your Bible says in verse number 4. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into an open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Number one, I see the ruin of this baby today. This baby's just left out in the field. A mother has this baby and just simply leaves this baby out, wasting this baby out by itself. According to the Bible, this baby is naked and left all alone. So I see the ruin of this baby. Think about this. The ruin of this baby, the baby was unclean. Nobody had washed the baby. Nobody had swaddled the baby. The baby was unclean. Can I make a practical application out of it today? That's where you and I are at today. Without the goodness of God, we are unclean. We're not fit to stand in the presence of God. We're not fit to pray to God. Now you might as well holler amen and help me preach today. We're not fit to be in the presence of God. Every one of us sitting here today are wicked sinners that deserve to die and go to hell. Yes, we may be sitting in church this morning. Yes, we may be listening to a choir sing and special singing. Yes, we may have give in an offering this morning. But the truth of the matter is this, we're unclean. Our righteousness is as filthy rags today. You say, I'm a good person. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. Just as this baby was unclean, you and I is unclean today. What did the Bible say in Isaiah chapter 64? He said, but we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like wind have taken us away. So first of all this morning, we've got to establish this fact. This baby's in ruin, and this baby is unclean. But watch this. This baby's unclothed. The Bible said that none swaddled thee in the day of thy birth. In other words, the baby is unclothed. Can I just let your mind run back to Genesis chapter number 3 today? You remember Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter number 3, and whenever they sinned, all of a sudden God convicted them of that. God showed them their nakedness, and they ran and hid themselves before God that day, and they tried to sew some fig leaves together. They tried to find something to cover their nakedness up, but it was not good enough. Hear me and hear me well. Without God today, we're unclothed. We're not worthy. We can't go to Him. Oh, but aren't you thankful that God didn't leave Adam and Eve unattended that day? Even though they was unclean and unclothed, God didn't leave them in that position. This baby was unattended to begin with. Verse number 5. I walked back there, and let me just say this. If you talk to Brother Gavin and Miss Hannah this morning, be very respectful of the baby. Don't put your hands all over it. Don't kiss all over it. Don't touch it. Look at it from a distance. Somebody say amen. Say amen, Brother Gavin. He said amen. You say, well, I just need to pick it up and kiss it. No, you don't. You got all kinds of germs, and that baby don't need it, okay? That's good preaching, ain't it, Grandpa? All right. That's funny calling you Grandpa. That's real funny. You got the gray hair to pull it off. But anyway, I thought about this. Could you imagine just taking that baby and setting it out in the field and leaving it completely unattended? Nobody cared for it. It was really in a state of ruin. Can I just allow your mind to run back to a time before you were saved? And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, maybe you're at that place in your life where you feel like, man, nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. I'm just pushed out in the middle of nowhere and nobody cares. Yes, we may be unclean. We may be unclothed without Him. And it may seem that we are unattended, but I sure am glad the story does not stop in verse number 5. I'm glad that's not the end of it. I'm glad that we don't read that the baby died out there in the state of ruin. But there's more to the story. Number one, I see the baby's ruin. But number two, I see the baby's rescuer. I see the baby's rescuer. In other words, somebody came to where the baby was at. Can I just say this to you? The baby couldn't go to where they was at. There's no way little Stetson, Statson, Stinson, however you say it, can get up from back there and come up here to me right now. Are you with me? If he's laying in the cradle at home at midnight and goes to screaming, there's no way right now he can get out of that cradle and go in there to where his mom and daddy's at. Oh, but if he goes to crying, there's a mom and daddy, amen, that can hear his cry. And that mom and daddy can go to where that baby's at. Oh, thank God there was a day that I couldn't get to where Jesus was at because of my ruined condition. Oh, but I sure am glad that when I couldn't go to Him, He came to where I was at. I see the rescuer. Verse number 6, he says this, when I passed by thee. If you underline in your Bible, I invite you to underline that and draw an arrow over to the side and put, thank God, I passed by thee. Oh, yes. I thought about this. I began studying rescuer. I had to know some more about that word, and here's what I found out. A rescuer is a person who saves something or someone from harm or danger. The main job of a rescuer is to save lives in a dangerous environment. Okay, that didn't help y'all. If you'll put your halos away and tuck your wings this morning and realize there was a time you was lost and on the road to hell, and some of you sitting in this room used to be smoked up on pot on Sunday morning instead of sitting in the house of God, and you was hungover on Sunday morning and you wasn't listening to John, you was hugging John because of your condition. But God was our rescuer in that dangerous environment that you was living in, and He came to where you was at. I thought about this. He just didn't come to where we were. He came to our very depths, to the darkest corners of our souls and our hearts, where we was lost and unattended. He came to rescue us, to bring us back into His loving embrace. That rescuer. I thought about this. Brother Elijah, the only way you can rescue someone that is drowning is to get in the water. Brother Mac, I thought about this. The next time you're working, the only way you can rescue somebody from a burning building is if you go into the building. Brother Lloyd, the only way we've ever cut some mangled body out of a car that was wrapped around a tree and in a mess, we had to go to the vehicle, and there was oftentimes we had to get in the vehicle. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. For somebody to rescue you from the condition that you're in, they've got to come to where you're at. Aren't you thankful there was a day that Jesus agreed to leave the portals of glory, man, living in a perfect world with His Father, and He chose to leave the portals of glory and come to this earth and live 33 and a half years. Oh, I
I couldn't get to him. But thank God for the day that he came to where I was at. I saw Brother Bailey bragging on God this week, and he was talking about being in the back of that car. Aren't you glad that he can come to the back of a car and save you? Aren't you glad he can come to a church pew? Aren't you glad he can get on a Harley with you? Aren't you glad no matter where you're at, the condition that you're in, we've got a rescuer today that'll come to where we're at? You say, preacher, my life's a mess. I know somebody that specializes in messy situations. You say, preacher, my home's a mess. I know somebody that specializes in messy homes. Preacher, my kids' lives are in a wreck. I know somebody that can go to the wreck. Praise God. We've got a rescuer today. I see the baby's ruin, but I see the baby's rescuer. I see the baby's rescuer. There's somebody that can help. You say, preacher, if you only knew. Well, can I tell you something? If you want to tell me, I'll be more than glad to listen, but you don't have to tell me. Because I can go a step past that and say this: he'll help you. You say, preacher, you just don't know. Preacher, you just don't know my life. Preacher, you just don't know my story. Preacher, you just don't know where I'm at right now. Preacher, you just don't know how dark it is. Can I say something? There was a baby laying in the middle of the field. It seemed completely hopeless, that there was nothing that could be done. Oh, but thank God somebody saw that baby in their condition and went to where they was at. I see this, number one, the ruin. Number two, I see the rescuer. But number three, I see the rescue. There's a difference in a rescuer and a rescue. Can I just say that again? There is a difference. It's one thing to say that you are a rescuer, but it's quite another thing to rescue. All right, Brother Mac, how many times you've been in fire service 913 years? How many times? And we spent probably 10 or 12 of those years together. How many times somebody come in and said, I'm a fireman? And son, you take them in the first time, and the least little bit of heat gets on, and you're like, where you at? Where'd you go? Matter of fact, I can take you right up the road here to that place that me and you both got mad at that day. And we was right in the midst of the heat of it. An old boy just turned tail and run. He was gone. Let me tell you what. He said he was one thing, but he really wasn't. Brother Elijah, let's just be honest with it. You chief of a rescue squad, how many guys says that they're rescuers, but if it came down to it, there was the only person on the scene, the tools were sitting there, could they really do a technical rescue themselves? So, preach what? There's a difference in saying you're a rescuer and rescuing somebody. Can I just put it this way? How many boys walks around with cowboy boots on? I'm just going to come right on down here and preach a little while. And a big old belt buckle. Are you with me, Brother Matt? And their Western shirt on. And the Wranglers, they ain't never rode a horse a day in their life. They haven't put a cowboy hat on or a flat bill hat that says cowpoke. They ain't never rode a horse a day in their life. I'm going to get in trouble right here. They ain't never dipped Copenhagen straight a day in their life without puking. Are you hearing me this morning? Brother Brian? They've never worked cows a day in their life. They've never, Brother Lloyd, had a mad mama cow get after them because you was trying to tag the baby cow. Are you with me? They don't have a clue. And they've never worked hay a day in their life. They wouldn't have a clue how to mow hay. They wouldn't have a clue how to bale hay. They don't even know how to pick up a square bale and put it in the barn, Brother Sean. But they're a cowboy. And God forbid you ask him to hook up a gooseneck trailer and back it somewhere. That's good preaching, ain't it, Brother Landon? You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. It's one thing. I done got out of the pulpit and went to meddling. I think I better get back up there. It's one thing to say you're a rescuer. It's another thing to rescue. It's one thing to say I'm a fireman. It's another thing to fight fire. It's one thing to walk like a cowboy and act like a cowboy and say you're a cowboy, but be a cowboy. Are you with me this morning? Well, I got good news. He just don't say that he's a rescuer. He is a rescuer. And the reason that we know he is a rescuer is because we've saw those whom he's rescued. Amen. Y'all ready to go eat chicken? And I'm just getting to where I want to preach about 2 hours at. We've saw the effects. We've saw those that he went to in their time of need and pulled them out of the mess that they was in and established their goings and set their foot on a solid rock and put a new song in their soul. You see, Luke 19:10 just isn't in there. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost, but he come to pass, Luke 19:10. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He has done what he said he would do. He said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. And here's what he says, I will give you rest. There was a night that, man, I'm telling you, my soul was in trouble. I realized I was lost and on the road to hell. I realized there was nothing good within me. Oh, but thank God when I made my way to an altar and called on him and asked him to save me. At that very moment, he wasn't just a rescuer. He rescued me. He came to me. He loved me. He pulled me out of the mess that I was in. Oh, yes. I thought about this. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 8 sub-points underneath this one point. And I'm going to preach every one of them. Depends on how you say amen, how quick I preach them. The rescue. Can I just say it this way? The proof's in the pudding. Y'all understand that, don't you? Don't act like you're a bunch of city slickers in the greater Mount Airy area this morning. Bless God, we at the edge of Low Gap and Red Hill Creek. Somebody say amen. Amen. Are you with me? We got a bunch of pots in here this morning. Say amen, Brother Robert. We just country people. The proof's in the pudding, man. Somebody says they are what they are. I want proof that they are. There's a lot that says I'm a Christian, but there's no proof in the pudding. There's a lot that says they're a preacher, and they may give up and give an educated book report and build emotions, but man, there's no moving of the Holy Ghost on it. My spirit don't bear witness with theirs. And you may say, well, your spirit's the one that's wrong. No, friend, I've been in touch with the big spirit, and everything's all right. So the proof's in the pudding. Watch this. He commanded the baby to live. Look in verse number 6. And when I pass by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. Can I just say this? He saw you in the true condition you was in. A lot of times we try to hide the true condition. But he sees us the way that we are. There's no need in you try to hide it from God. He's already saw you. Somebody say amen. He said this. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said in my mind, man, that's a hopeless situation. That baby's in a mess. It'll never make it. So I'm going to turn and go the other way. You know what? That's what, man, I'm telling you, I feel like preaching a while. That's what the world said to some of us sitting in this room. Are you with me? That's what the world said. You'll never make it. You'll never amount to anything. Your marriage will never make it. Oh, but aren't you glad that there was a rescuer passed by your way one day? Look what he said. He said, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood. In other words, when you was in your pollution, when you was in your mess, when you was wasting away and nobody else cared for you. He said, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. He commanded the baby to live. Thank God for the day he passed by me and said, live unto me. Thank God. He said, live. Thank God I didn't have to die in my sin. Thank God I didn't have to go to hell. Thank God that I didn't have to suffer the agony and the pain and the eternal separation from God in a place called hell, but he came to where I was at and commanded me to live. He commanded the baby to live. Watch this. He had compassion on the baby. Look in verse number 8. Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. Behold, thy time was a time of love. Thy time was a time of love. Thank God for the love of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. He had compassion on the baby that day. He just didn't command it to live and leave it laying there, but he had compassion. I thought about this. Look in verse number 8. He said, thy time was a time of love. Now watch this. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. He not only had compassion, he not only commanded the baby to live, but I thought about this. He covered the baby. What did he say? He said, I covered thee. I covered thee. I covered thee. Are you with me? I'm looking for somebody to illustrate this with. I covered thee. Do you think Wren would let me hold her without screaming her head off? Not right now. I need a baby. Hey, man, will you come help the preacher just a minute? Come on. Come on. All right. This is my buddy right here, man. We got Buzz Lightyear and a dinosaur. We fixing to fix the world right here. Look right there. Ain't he cute? Hey, I like you. He's going to be, watch this. He said, he's bigger. Stand right there just a second. All right, I'm not going to drop you. You ready? I'm going to take my coat off. Here we go. Brother Josh, pull that arm. It's okay. He's like, oh, Lord, what have I got myself into? This is things that scars children and they're never the same. Watch this. I'm going to put my coat on you, okay? Here we go. I'm going to take you to mama. Here we go. He don't like it. Okay, here we go. Look here. The application is this. Here you go. There you go. Now he don't want mama. The application is this. You could no longer see the baby. He go. There you go. You're welcome. He said, thank you. You could no longer see the baby. All you could see, Lord, bless this emptiness. Oh, did you hurt your hand? Oh, he hit my leg. I asked him if he hurt his hand. Y'all get that in a minute. All you could see was the garments of the rescuer. Amen. Are you getting what I'm preaching to you? Everything that you was, the life that you lived, the mess that you was in, the day that... The day that Jesus came to where you was at and saw you in the mess that you was in. Are you hearing the preacher this morning? All that garbage, the life that you had been in, what happened the day that he came by and saved you? Here's what happened the day that he came by and saved you. He that knew no sin became sin so that you may be made the righteousness of God in him. Today I've got access to God because when God looks at me, he don't see the sin of my past. He don't see my mistakes. He don't see my faults. He don't see my failures. When God looks at me, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He covered him. Here, I'm about done. He claimed the baby. Look in verse number 8.
He said, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. Thou becamest mine. Every need that I've ever had, guess what? They're His needs. He claimed the baby. He cleansed the baby in verse number 9. He washed it. Aren't you glad for the day that He washed you? He clothed the baby in verse number 10. He completed the baby in verse 10 through 13. Look at all He does for it. Miss Tanya, will you come start playing? But watch this in closing. He changed the baby in verse 14. Verse number 14, look what your Bible says. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through, watch this, my comeliness. It was perfect through my, that word comeliness right there, when you study it out in the Hebrew, here's what it means. It means splendor and majesty. He said, you've been made perfect through my majesty and through my splendor. Amen. Watch this. He changed the baby, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. All of it concludes in verse number 14 with this. Through my comeliness, which I put upon thee. It was nothing that I done. It was in all of what He done. He said, the reason you are what you are. The reason you are what you are. It's not because of anything you done. That baby was helpless. That baby couldn't do one thing. And you want me to tell you the reason that baby become what that baby was? You want me to tell you the reason that baby grew up? You want me to tell you the reason that baby had the life that it had? You want me to tell you the reason that baby had the clothes on its back? It was not because of one thing that that baby done. It was all because there was a day that that baby realized that it was in ruin, and there was a rescuer came to where it was at and rescued it. It was all because of someone else. All because of someone else. I'll give you a very practical illustration in closing. Tom, I like big motors that makes a lot of racket. I like it when they got big cams. Somebody say amen. And they just, just sounds like it's almost going to cut off. You know, and then it hits another lick. It's just something about it. Brother Elijah, our youth leader, is a mechanical engineer at Richard Childress Racing. And he told me not long ago, he said, hey, did you want to see the shop? I said, yeah. I mean, you want a chocolate bar? What kind of question is that? You know? I said, yeah. I said, I'd love to. He said, well, come down this day. He said, we're usually doing dynos and chassis dynos. And he said, I'll take you through. We'll go eat lunch and we'll go through everything. And I'll take you and show you everything. I said, okay. I said, man, that sounds good. Well, I got down there. We went and eat lunch and we came back. Now, when we came back, if he'd have left and went somewhere else, and I'd have walked into the motor complex, that great old big building that they just do motors in. Brother Brian, if I'd have just walked in there, just walked right on back through the back, which you couldn't get back through the back. But if I could have and just went to walking around, let me tell you what had happened, Brother Tom. I'd probably got escorted out of there. Why? Because I didn't have permission to be where I was at. But I know somebody. I like saying that. I know somebody. Yeah. We come back from eating lunch. He walked up to the door and opened the door, Brother Brian. And we went in. We went all through there, all through the lab that he's over and met the people that works under him and all through the back and looked at all those motors and it was amazing. All through the graphics part and everything. I'd have never been able to do that if I hadn't known somebody. Let me tell you the reason you're able to sit here today. And while that choir was singing about a friend, Even if you didn't raise your hand, something inside of you going, that's good right there. Let me tell you the reason your wife, hey, sir, let me tell you the reason your wife's sitting beside of you today. Let me tell you the reason your kids are sitting here today. It's not because of anything you've done. It's all because of somebody you know. Can I put it real simple? It's grace. That's what it is. It was the day that you was in ruin, but He came to where you was at, saw you in your unfit condition, and didn't go, "You're a hopeless situation." But He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And He entered into a covenant with us, and He made us as Him. So I want to ask you this question in closing. Maybe that baby is still you today. Maybe you know there's a rescuer, but you've never allowed Him to rescue you. I want to invite you this morning to meet the greatest friend that you'll ever know. And in order to do that, you're going to have to come to a place in your life where you realize that within yourself, the only thing you can do is humble yourself in the presence of God and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and save you. And you know what He'll do? He'll say unto you, while you're polluted in your own blood, live. And we can be rescued from the ruin of our life. Fathers,